Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
So today's first scripture reading is from Matthew 24, verses 45 to 51, found on page 34 in the Pew Bible. Please follow along as I read. Who then is the faithful and wise slave whom his master has put in charge of his household to give the other slaves their allowance of food and at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master will find at work when he arrives. Truly, I tell you, he will put that one in charge of all his possessions. But if that wicked slave says to himself, "My master is delayed," and he begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drinks with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour that he does not know. He will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
The scripture lesson comes immediately after the scripture reading, beginning chapter 25, verse 1. Jesus tells this story. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the word of the Lord. Now, be honest, you knew this story was going to be a disaster the moment you heard the words 10 bridesmaids. There was no way that was going to work out according to plan. Which really, you know it's not going to work out according to plan the moment you heard the word wedding. Right? We have to talk as we're preparing for a wedding about what things are we prepared to have go wrong on the day of the wedding, because there will always be something. But it's still March for at least the rest of today, possibly another if you ask Paul. So it's not really wedding season yet, but it is baseball season. I'm not a particularly diehard baseball fan, but my brother is. My brother's a diehard Cubs fan from all the way back in the day, right? Yes, I see Cubs fans out there. And so I share kind of vicariously his joy at opening day, and opening day went well, right? It's kind of like when the bulbs come up in the spring. It's like we've just been waiting for this, and finally now it's here. And so opening day always used to be this, like, sign of reckless optimism, especially for Cubs fans, right? Like, maybe this'll be our year. And we always knew better, right? But now it's like, "Oh, maybe this'll be your year." And I'm like, "Again?" Yeah? So go Cubs. If I have to choose, I'm a Red Sox fan. I became a Red Sox fan just before they started winning. So, Like, I'm legit, but only barely. But Friday morning, on Facebook, one of my friends in Minnesota posted, "Hey, the Twins are tied for first place." So, you know, hope springs eternal, and hope is always relative, right, to where you came from. Jesus is telling these stories that are kind of like opening day. He's telling these stories about anticipation. We expect the kingdom of heaven to break into the world the way that baseball fans expect a good year for their team. This could be the one. The Christian life is built around that sense of expectation. We live in this space between the resurrection that we are looking forward to with Easter and the culmination of Jesus' reign. And so when we gather at the table and we say, we proclaim Christ's death until he comes again in glory, we're looking ahead to the time when all of the promises that Jesus inaugurated, all of the promises that we trust in, we're still expecting them to arrive. And so God's promises are here, God's promises are sure, and yet we haven't seen them quite complete yet. And we see our role in the world as somehow helping to build the world as God would have it. We ultimately know that the transformation of the world is God's work, not ours. And so we only help as God is transforming the world. But in order to help, we have to be attentive. We have to, as Jesus said, keep awake for those moments when we can help to change the world as God would have it change. During Lent, I also know that that call to be awake is also a call for me to confess that I'm not awake. I mean, I'm chronically awake, right? I'm over-caffeinated, I'm over-anxious, I'm over-fragmented by the news that I try to keep track of until it just becomes noise. I'm worried about my home and my budget and my family's future and how are we all doing, and don't worry, I cope. I am able to perfectly well transform all of my worries into desires and supposed needs for things that I can't possibly need. And I know that those desires and supposed needs are also not good for my neighbors here or overseas or in the future. But I know that I'm addicted to being right at the center of the world's concerns. Either to be the one that the world is concerned about or to be the one who is so concerned about the world that somehow I'm going to change everything. And I don't know a way out of that, but I don't like it either. But I don't have enough imagination to find a way to imagine a world as Jesus would actually have it. These foolish bridesmaids in this parable that Jesus tells, they didn't bring enough oil. I see my lack of imagination for the world that God could bring into being. I see that lack of imagination as an oil jar that somehow I don't have, that I didn't bring with me to the wedding. Jesus is telling these parables about the kingdom of heaven in order to break open our imagination, in order to open us to imagine a new reality of God's love. He's inviting us to see what we long for, but we can't truly picture. These parables draw a contrast between God's kingdom and the human power structures of this world, and especially the religious systems that we find ourselves standing on and tied to at the same time. And Jesus, not too long from now, is going to be crucified for subverting the way that the world works, for calling into question the way that we are sure the world works. Within the story, we are in Jerusalem during Jesus' final week before the crucifixion. And it's no accident, I think, that Jesus tells all of these stories about the end of time, these final climactic stories. He tells them right now, right before his death, because his death and his resurrection are going to unveil something new in the world. And if these stories sound harsh to us, which if you're paying attention, I think these stories should sound harsh to you. If these stories sound harsh to us, they sound harsh because Jesus' death is a kind of judgment of the way that things are. If these stories sound harsh, it's because Jesus' death is a judgment of the way things are. It is Jesus standing in judgment of the way things are, standing on the authority of the God who does something new in the world. So the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding feast that nobody wants to attend. It's like a field growing wheat and weeds together. It's like food and clothing offered to the very least who are Christ himself. We anticipate God setting everything right, and we know that this will upend most everything that we know so far. And so Jesus tells us, be alert, be ready for it. So what's readiness? How are we to be ready? In Jesus' parable, being ready actually has to do with preparing for kind of a long haul before the kingdom of heaven gets here. If the bridegroom would simply come on time, then we would know when the kingdom of heaven was coming in and we could be ready right at that moment. But in fact, I don't know, he's off taking pictures somewhere, or maybe the party bus has gotten started a little bit early, which, no, you are not allowed to do that if I'm going to do your wedding. But we know that we are in this for the long haul. We are in this for longer than we wish it would take for the kingdom of heaven to actually finally break into the world. And so being ready means being ready for this not to have happened quite yet. Maybe it means sharing the oil that we have. Maybe it means setting up some kind of lamp oil co-op so that we can continue to provide for the needs of these 10 lamps in a longer period of time. Jesus says it's about keeping awake, but did you notice he told this story about all 10 bridesmaids falling asleep? I believe in naps, especially if your day is not going to start until midnight when the bridegroom finally gets here. Actually, let me say that one more time. I believe in naps. I think we are less ready for Jesus' kingdom breaking into the world when we are always on, which is to say when we are run ragged by trying to keep up with a world that really doesn't have any need to slow down for us. I think Sabbath is of the kingdom of heaven. But we can shape the rest of our lives toward the kingdom of heaven as well. This season of Lent is all about examining the desires and the habits that we carry through the world to ask if they really do point us toward God's intention for the world, God's intention for our own lives in this world. And Lent is also about practicing the good works and deep relationships that the kingdom is built on. The kingdom is built on our care for each other, and it is built on our willingness to understand and reconcile with each other. Major League Baseball players don't wait to start playing baseball until after they've signed with a team. They don't wait to play baseball until Saturday afternoon after the national anthem and it's time to throw out the first pitch. Their practice looks similar at every level, hitting and fielding and running, except for catchers, they don't really run all that much. And you know, the Christian life is similar to that. It's the same work day after day, from one phase of our lives to another. As we wait for the kingdom of heaven, we are already doing the same work that we will do in the kingdom of heaven. The work that we do is the beginning of the kingdom of heaven here in this day, in this moment of our lives. So some ways that covenant gets ready for the kingdom of heaven includes committing more than 20% of our church budget to go right out the door into mission causes that we are not in charge of, but that bless our neighbors around us. Part of the way that we work toward the kingdom of heaven is by building relationships with our neighbors in El Salvador as a context for knowing that our lives and their lives, different as they are deeply intertwined with each other. This is doubly true in the kingdom of heaven. It looks like committing part of our property for a garden because heaven has plants other than grass. It looks like digging into the hard work of understanding each other and sharing life together, building a community that can truly rejoice in the kingdom of heaven. These are just some of the ways that we continue to refill that oil and keep those lamps burning until Christ comes again in glory. Let us pray. Faithful God, your promises are fulfilled in the presence of your beloved Jesus. Make us faithful to your purposes and teach us to trust in the promise of your kingdom, so we might be part of bringing your heavenly kingdom into the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.